Hi everyone, my name is Gabriel and this is the Hour of the Raven, your channel for everything Ravenloft, RPG, Dungeons & Dragons and horror. Today, we are going to explore the past and secrets of Dr. Dacloud Hainfroth, the infamous Dr. Dominiani, a cerebral vampire and the cruel director of the Asylum for the Mentally Disturbed in Dominia. But first, some brief announcements and clarifications. I would like to extend my thanks to the user CKMinch3664 for alerting me that the channel's videos, although monetized with ads, did not have the Super Thanks contribution option enabled. I have been thinking about creating some exclusive content in the form of a subscription as a Patreon to support the channel, and some fans even asked me updates on this proposal. Unfortunately, my work outside the Mist has taken up a good part of my free time, and I couldn't devise or create any additional content for this type of proposal. The Super Thanks contribution option is the way you can contribute and say thanks to the channel for the content created, with any amount you deem appropriate. If you can and want to contribute, the Dark Powers shall bestow upon you their dark gift, and we shall continue our journey more motivated to explore the hidden mysteries of the Domains of Dread. Before we start to explore the Sea of Sorrows, our explorations through the Mist took place in the core of Ravenloft and passed through domains that had already been inserted and described in novels, adventures, and mainly in the Ravenloft Gazetteers, books that brought detailed information about the domains and their Dark Lords. Until that moment, I had taken care to feature the Ravenloft setting in my videos, taking into account only official sources. However, in the case of Dominia and other domains not previously covered by the Ravenloft Gazetteers, I intend to expand on these sources of information. Dominia first appeared in the Red Box of the Ravenloft campaign setting in 1994 and featured a Dark Lord or had appeared as a major character in the Feast of Goblins adventure. After these first appearances, the domain received only mentions in the Domain of Dread campaign setting, but was described in detail in the Bleak House campaign. The domain should have been covered in one of the 3rd edition's gazetteers, focused on the Sea of Sorrows, but unfortunately, White Wolf's license to release books for the setting came to an end, and these books haven't been written. However, the Ravenloft fan community wouldn't let the setting rot in oblivion. The Fraternity of Shadows website, the most well-known and organized site for fans of the setting, has published netbooks that continue the Gazetteer proposal, exploring in-depth and detail the Domains of Dread. Some of these books explore the Nocturnal Sea, the Domain of Solrang, and the Cluster of Zerisha, for example, and for some time now, they have developed a Gazetteer for the Sea of Sorrows. Although the Gazetteer for the Sea of Sorrows is not yet finalized and published as a single book, some of its passages describing some domains have already been published as previews in the Court of the Raven netbooks. I will also leave the link where you can download the book. The next video about Dominia and Dacloud Hainfroth will be based on the official setting material and the article about Dominia written by Leishan Deepshadow Campbell. The article on Dominia was published as a preview of the Sea of Sorrows Gazetteer, and it's possible that the final text will change when the Gazetteer is finally published. Are you ready? On our journey through the Sea of Sorrows, in search of the whereabouts of Dr. Rudolf von Richten, we are taken prisoners by our enemies and sent to the sanatorium on the island of Dominia as insane patients. After being tortured by Dr. Dominiani and the sanatorium's clinical staff, we are contacted in our dreams by a secret group known as the Ward Zero, patients who gather in the world of dreams to try to escape their prison, alleviate the suffering of patients, and sabotage their captor's plans. Many secrets are revealed in this dream world, and we discover that Dr. von Richten, for whom we are looking on our journey, was once among the island patients a few years ago. He was a patient who enjoyed Dr. Damiani's special attention, but escaped from the sanatorium with the help of adventurers. Thinking that only Dr. Damiani could have records and information about Dr. Van Richten, we decided to start a bold plan. If this dream world was a twisted version of the asylum in the waking world, maybe we could use the time we have left asleep to explore Dr. Damiani's secret files. We advanced to the sanatorium in search of Dr. Dacloud Heinfroth's office and managed to enter the dreamlike version of his rooms. On his desk, we found a book with research records and memories of the alienist, revealing his past and secrets. Howl of the Raven. Ah, I see you suffer from delusions again. Do not resist the mask and robes that you now use. The first step in healing your insanity is to break down the emotional barriers that are tied to your sense of self. Only when your mind has become a tabula rasa can it be freed from its madness and conditioned to reason again. Don't worry. You are in my care now. Rest assured that all the torments imposed on you are for your own benefit, and that we will cure you of madness, even if you have to extract it from your brain, drop by drop. Dr. Dacloud Heinfroth, also known by the alias of Dr. Damiani, is an alienist and cerebral vampire and the Dark Lord of Dominia. The character is an insane doctor, the leader of a cruel asylum for the mentally disturbed, a trope that has become commonplace in horror stories, due to the cruel treatments that were found in this type of institution in the past. Gothic horror has always addressed a theme of insanity, but Dominia and Dr. Dacloud Heinfroth also explore more modern themes such as dehumanizing treatment, paranoia, and the mental control over the patients trapped in this sanatorium. Dr. Damiani is a special type of vampire who feeds on the brain fluids of his patients. The character's main inspiration is the trope of an insane scientist, an obsessive researcher who, in pursuit of his goals, ignores any morals or ethical principles. Dr. Dacloud was once a human, until in one of his experiments he became the first cerebral vampire. Dr. Damiani's first appearance in his official illustrations seemed to have been inspired by the image of Abraham Lincoln, the famous president of the United States. He is a tall man with a piercing gaze, with a mane of black hair and a bushy sideburns, giving him a wolfish appearance, which has led some of his enemies to mistake him for a werewolf. He always dresses like a Victorian doctor and gentleman, and is the only one in his asylum who does not dress in grey robes and masks. Dacloud is cruel and has no regard for the pain and suffering of others. He is often cold and rational, and his great intellect and knowledge make him a great opponent for his enemies. Despite his great intelligence and wit, he suffers from the constant fear of being taken over by the madness that plagues his family. His efforts to cure insanity often result in the death of his patients, and he hears laughter mocking his efforts, voices that speak in his mind, and silhouettes that move in the corner of his eyes. More than that, the dark powers cursed Dr. Dacloud to be incapable of understanding the motivations and emotions that move an individual, which in addition to preventing the progress of his studies, makes him paranoid, always fearing the betrayal of his own allies. Dr. Dacloud is a cerebral vampire a rare strain that feeds on the brain fluids of its victims. This type of undead is unaffected by sunlight and is not allergic to garlic like regular vampires. Dr. Domeniani knows that few people are aware of the existence of this vampire strain, and he often manipulates his enemies into deceiving them about his nature. His gaze can generate a hypnotic pattern in his victims, and his touch can throw them into a state of confusion. His strength is extraordinary, and only magical weapons can harm him. Dr. the Clown Heimfroth came from an aristocratic family of Gundarak and became Dux Gundar's right-hand man. Domeniani betrayed his master and plotted his destruction, assuming the post of Dark Lord of Gundarak. After the Grand Conjunction, the mist swallowed him to the lands of Dominia, where he became the master of a domain created as a reflection of his monstrous nature, and became the director of the asylum for the mentally disturbed. When Dr. the Cloud wishes to close the borders of his domain, a wall of absolute darkness falls over the ocean tides, surrounding the island, causing disorientation and frostbite to those who dare to cross it. But what led Dr. the Cloud Heimfroth, this renowned alienist, to become the first cerebral vampire? What crimes and sins led the infamous Dr. Domeniani to become the Dark Lord of Dominia? Dr. the Cloud Heimfroth was born in Gundarak in the year 570 of the Barovian calendar, a member of an important Gundarakite family. Despite belonging to Gundarak's aristocracy, his family was cursed with hereditary insanity. While still a child, he watched his mother succumb to madness. Gradually, she began to lose touch with reality, suffering from strange brain fever, until she died screaming, totally insane. These horrors deeply affected the young boy, who studied his family history and discovered that the same fate befell all of his ancestors, like a terrible curse. The Cloud was the last member of his family, and he dedicated his life to the study of the mind, in search of a cure for the insanity that afflicted his family, trying to escape this disastrous fate. Despite his brilliant mind, he was limited in his efforts by the vastly backward lands of Gundarak, which, ruled by the tyrannical Duke Gundar, lacked any centers of study that could aid his research. When the lands of Gundarak were swallowed by the mists in 593, the young Dark Cloud, only 23 years old, decided to use all the fortune he had inherited from his family to invest in his research for the cure of insanity. He soon abandoned the backward lands of Gundarak in search of knowledge, and his quest led him to the domain of Mordant, where he became a pupil and apprentice to the great alienist and mesmerist Dr. Germain Donner. Dr. the Cloud was a prodigy and stood out among the medical residents of the Salbridge Sanatorium. However, the records of the asylum point out that he left the clinical staff after an embarrassing situation, having been dismissed from the clinic by Dr. Germain Donner after becoming romantically involved with a patient. After this scandal, Dr. the Cloud Heimfroth left Mordant, but he took with him Annabeth Gwaldamon, a patient recently released from the sanatorium's care and who was pregnant. Records of her travels to the lands of Darkon indicate that she took the name Annabeth Heimfroth. The Cloud's plans were to move to Darkon in search of a new place where he could practice medicine and continue his research. However, on their travels they were approached by a band of Istani, who revealed to Dr. the Cloud the existence of lands in the mists, even more advanced in medicine than the lands of Darkon. Dazzled by the promise of a place for study and research, that could expand his horizons. He paid a large sum of money to the Vistani for them to guide him and Annabeth through the mists to the city of Paridon in Xerisha. The city of Paridon proved to be the perfect place for Dr. Dacloud's studies, with sanatoriums and advanced medical schools. Annabeth gave birth to a daughter named Alison, while Dr. Dacloud quickly found employment as a doctor and alienist at one of the health facilities. In 597, Dr. Dacloud's second son was born, while he became the director of Queen Anne Hospital. Despite being distant and obsessed with his studies, Dr. Dacloud experienced a period of relative tranquility, and his wife was expecting a third child. It all dissolved, however, in 599, when his family fell victim to the infamous assassin called Bloody Jack. His young children had disappeared, and his wife was decapitated by the mysterious killer. Heartbroken, Dr. Dacloud decided to leave Paridon, believing that he had already acquired enough knowledge for his research, and that he was being constrained by the hospital's obligations and ethical dogmas. He liquidated his estate and decided to return to Gundarak to retake his family lands. Upon his return from Paridon, however, he found that the ancient keep of the Hainfrots had been claimed by the tyrannical Duke Gundar and had been turned into a military outpost and prison. The depressed Dacloud came to claim his lands, but did not find a ruler favorable to his desires. Duke Gundar would only tolerate Dr. Dacloud's presence in those lands if he became his servant, acting as a physician to his armies. Dr. Dacloud accepted these terms and began to act as a servant in the fortress that once was his. He took this opportunity to experiment on the prisoners in the dungeons, who became test subjects for his experiments. Dr. Dacloud began using such prisoners as patients, creating the first asylum for the mentally disturbed. He knew, however, that his time was ending, as he was already beginning to feel the first signs of the madness that affected his family. He had developed a method of draining brain fluids from sane patients to inject them into insane patients in order to cure madness. After some promising signs in some experiments, and fearing being taken over by the madness that plagued his family, Dr. Dacloud decided to perform the procedure on himself and injected the brain fluids of a young woman he had kidnapped. The unwitting donor, however, was a victim of Duke Gundar and was being groomed to become the vampire's bride, being made a vampiric companion for the tyrant. Cerebral fluid, mixed with vampiric blood, transformed Dr. Dominiani into a new vampiric strain, a cerebral vampire, who feeds on the cerebral fluids of his victims through wounds at the base of their skulls. Duke Gundar was furious at the destruction of his bride-to-be, but his fury was quelled when he discovered that, like a vampire spawn, Dr. Dacloud was enslaved to his will. The brilliant physician had now become a servant to Duke Gundar, enslaved by his telepathic commands, and it was he who had bestowed on him the name of Dr. Dominiani as a taunt to his enforced loyalty. The transformation into an undead as a cerebral vampire strain halted his mind's degeneration, eternally imprisoning him in this intermediate state between sanity and madness. Life as a servant of Duke Gundar was intolerable. Dacloud considered himself a genius, a brilliant mind ahead of his time, but he was forced to serve the tyrannical and brutal Duke Gundar, a warlord who ruled by brute force. The Dark Lord of Gundarak seemed to revel in forcing Dominiani to serve him, and his existence might have been far worse had he not found an ally within his liege's own court. By some supernatural means, the Nosferatu Gundar managed to father two sons on one of his wives. One of these dampiers was Midraut, who early on revealed to have a troubled temper, but also a great talent for the occult and magic. After murdering his sister when Midraut was still a child, due to some curse or occult power, he was trapped in a child's body. His cruel eyes and vast arcane knowledge belied his eternally innocent appearance, and even Gundar feared his son at times. Dacloth and Midraut became important partners in scientific and arcane experiments, and even from a distance they communicated through mystical means to share their discoveries and knowledge. In addition to a thirst for knowledge, they both shared a contempt for the tyrant Gundar and yearned for his destruction. In the year 612, one of Midraut's experiments drew an infestation of Fae'irs to Castle Unadora, and it fell to Dominiani to find a way to deal with these monsters. He succeeded in his plans, taking some specimens with him to his stronghold to study these magnificent monsters in their larval state. As a promotion for his deeds, or perhaps as a means of alienating him from his son and conspirator Midraut, Duke Gundar ordered Dominiani to leave Gundarak and to explore the lands of Kartakas. Dominiani accepted such mission, but as soon as he found himself far from Gundar's influence, he took the opportunity to chart his own path. In these distant lands, he met Lazarus Iconas, a sage and scholar of Darkon, who explored the mysteries and hidden secrets of the mists. The quest for knowledge brought Dominiani and Lazarus together, and the Cloud was accepted as an initiate from the Fraternity of Shadows, a secret society that seeks to unlock the mysteries of the mists. He wandered for a time alongside Lazarus, exploring new domains as they were unveiled by the expanding mists as the core expanded. Although he kept his vampiric habits a secret, in the year 648 of the Barovian calendar, rumors of his perpetual youth began to circulate among his peers, and he decided to withdraw from the fraternity. Despite his isolation, he kept in touch with some of his peers over the years, albeit with a more cautious attitude. Due to his contacts with the Fraternity of Shadows, the Cloud first heard about the signs of the Grand Conjunction. He feared that the events of these prophecies could destroy the lands of the mists, and decided that he needed to return to his stronghold to better plan his next steps. After years of traveling through the land of the mists and studying the nature of the demiplane of dread, he decided to return to Gundarak and resume his studies of the mysteries of the mind. In 610, he returned to his keep, where he reassumed the asylum for the mentally disturbed, and resumed employment in the services of Duke Gundar. His vampiric master was not pleased with his disappearance for decades, but Dominiani presented himself as a repentant servant, and said he brought Gundar relevant information about the nature of the Land of the Mists and about the prophecies of the Grand Conjunction. The ruler of Gundarak despised this knowledge, however. Gradually, the cunning Dominiani began to forge his position to once again become an important ally of Duke Gundar. This goal was made easier when Lord Soth, a Death Knight recently captured by the Mists, and his seneschal Azrael, invaded Castle Unadora to confront Duke Gundar. The Vampire Lord escaped his enemies, but the confrontation resulted in Midraut's death. despite losing his former companion in studies and experiments. Dominiani seized this opportunity to become Dux Gundar's right-hand man. In subsequent years, he consolidated his position in Gundarak, and still felt the compulsion to obey his master, but as he grew older, he also got stronger, and was even able to resist certain commands. He pretended, however, to still be a loyal servant and hatched his own plans. He kept in contact with the Fraternity of Shadows, but feared that now that his unusual longevity and association with Dux Gundar was known, his undead nature would make him an enemy to the eyes of the secret arcane cabal. Despite this, he received a fraternity envoy into his care when Henry Bergeron, a young alchemist from Gastria, came looking for him to become his apprentice and assistant in his research. Dominiani always suspected that he was some kind of spy, but his intellectual isolation in the lands of Gundarak made him accept the young man as his servant, even though he kept him under strict surveillance. In 722, when a monastery of the Order of Guardians was destroyed in Gundarak, Dominiani went to the site to score for artifacts and forbidden knowledge held by these monks, and it was there that he learned about the existence of the artifact known as the Crown of Diagon. Knowing that this would be a key part of the first sign of the Grand Conjunction, Dominiani set in motion a daring plan. Manipulating information to Dux Gundar, he sold him the idea that they could expand and conquer other domains with the use of the artifact. He then sought out and seduced Akriel in Kartakas, and using his power of convincing and magnetism, he also manipulated the young Wolfwell into believing that with this artifact, she could obtain the power and immortality that belonged to her father, the Dark Lord of Kartakas, Harkon Lucas. Dominiani and Akriel's relationship and partnership was short but fruitful. And as expected, she managed to enlist a powerful group of adventurers to retrieve the Crown of Diagon from the witch Hadaga and bring the artifact to his keep. With this item in hand, the Cloud had control over the events of the first sign of the Grand Conjunction and planned to use the artifact's power to conquer the domain of Kartakas for himself. He didn't expect such a formidable opponent as Harkon Lucas, however. The monstrous bard managed to turn the tables and thwart their plans, prompting the same group of adventurers to turn against Dr. Dominiani and Dux Gundar. These heroes stormed his keep and asylum, wreaking havoc, and stole the crown, leading to the series of events that led to the complexion of the first sign of the Grand Conjunction. Frustrated at being unable to alter the course of destiny, the Cloud began to plot a way to achieve true power. He feared that the Grand Conjunction would destroy most of the inhabitants of the Land of the Mists, but he believed that the Dark Lords of these lands would survive such an ordeal. When the same group of adventurers came after him and Dux Gundar to exact revenge, Dominiani saw an opportunity to get rid of his mentor. Dux Gundar wanted revenge on the adventurers who thwarted his expansion plans, making the adventurers believe that he would be helpless in sunlight. He lured them into a deadly trap. Dark Cloud, who until then pretended to be a slave to Dux Gundar's commands, decided that the time had come to betray him. And when the moment was right, he did not activate the trap and gears that would hide the light of the day and would place the adventurers at the mercy of Dux Gundar's brutality. The Nosferatu vampire was motionless in his coffin as the adventurers impaled him with a wooden stake. The Mist recognized the traitorous Dominiani as Gundarak's new Dark Lord, and for a time, he got what he wanted. However, the insane alienist, who until then had proven to be a cruel manipulator, was cursed by the dark powers to be unable to understand the most basic human instinct and emotions, and could no longer be the master manipulator he once was. He had no real interest in ruling Gundarak, and felt that he was finally free to pursue his research into madness, and most importantly, to discover a method to replicate the process of creating a cerebral vampire, to create others in his image. During this period, he found some allies for his cause. Henri Bergeron, the alchemist, was his right-hand man in trying to manage the rule of Gundarak in this period. The Cloud discovered that the adventurers who invaded his castle had released a Fae larva, which had matured to an adult state and managed to form a partnership with the monstrous creature. When the vampire Lisa von Zadovich arrived in Gundarak, seeking Dux Gundar's support and refuge from the vengeance of her cousin Count Strahd, the Cloud offered her asylum in his domain, but in return, asked her to give up one of her vampiric servants who had remarkable psionic gifts, a woman called Quitan. The Cloud had surrounded himself with powerful allies, but he had also seen his grip on Gundarak slip away, with popular uprisings, palace intrigues, and threats of military invasions from neighboring kingdoms. When the dreaded Grand Conjunction finally came to pass, his asylum was engulfed in dense fog, and the Cloud, his main allies and patients, found themselves on a remote and isolated island in the mists. He soon discovered that the island had at its center an asylum, very similar to the one he had in his fortress, and there he re-established his asylum for the mentally disturbed. Even though he was without prospects of getting new patients in this remote and isolated location. All this isolation, however, gave him new and inspiring insights into his mind manipulation research. It was at this time that Dr. Dominiani unveiled his innovative treatment for keeping patients and staff at the sanatorium in a similar attire, wearing grey robes, with their faces covered in masks. His key allies also became part of these plans, with Henry becoming Dr. Black, Quitan becoming Dr. White, and the monstrous Feyre to his humanoid familiar, Dr. Blue. The island remained isolated by the mists and inaccessible. Sometimes, some poor madmen were swallowed by the mists and taken to the forest that surround the sanatorium. But the arrival of visitors by this mysterious way was rare and inconstant. Dr. The Cloud took advantage of this isolation to deepen his studies, and together with his assistant Henry, Dr. Black, he continued his experiments to recreate the process of creating new cerebral vampires. He did not fully share his knowledge with Dr. Black, however, as he knew that he was a spy for the Fraternity of Shadows, and also kept in secret the existence of an underground ward in the asylum, the Ward Zero, where he kept patients who deserved his special interest and attention. All this began to change when a Vistani caravan visited the island of Dominia. The Valstic caravan from the Korvara tribe discovered a business opportunity in the isolation of the island. After a long negotiation with Dr. The Cloud, a deal was struck with Rauni Madame Tzura, who would help them buy supplies and collect patients for the sanatorium. The travelers from the mists then began to advertise the services of the sanatorium of Dr. Dominiani whenever they passed, charging for their treatment and passage to the distant lands of Dominia. although many patients arrived on the island in this way. The distrust that the Vistani have sometimes hindered the promotion of the renowned treatment institution. Still, the fame of Dr. Hainfroth's asylum for the mentally disturbed began to spread, especially when, after a few months, the Vistani of the Valstic caravan brought back some patients, cured of their mental afflictions. These cured individuals were nothing more than alchemical doubles, created by Dr. Black Alchemy, perfect replicas made from a victim's blood and body parts and chemical substance, and who, at least for a short time, could pretend to be the person of the original bodies they were built from. Dominia's isolation by the mists would not last. A few years after the establishment of his sanatorium, the mists that surrounded the island were dissipated, and it became part of the western end of the Sea of Sorrows. Shortly after this integration, the island made its first contact with sailors, when a ship sank in its vicinity. The only survivor of a small boat, Captain Rigid Baikur, was rescued and taken to the island, in a state of delirium on the verge of death. After being taken to the asylum, he impressed Dr. Dominiani by his ferocity and will to live, and was his guinea pig on the first successful experiment to recreate a cerebral vampire. Using his resources, Dr. Dominiani acquired a caravel named Mercy and installed Captain Baker as its captain with a crew of cerebral ghouls. The ship began to make constant trips to the mainland, where they began to establish contact as emissaries and offer health partnerships for the treatment of patients. The sanatorium gained great fame and renown after receiving a visit from the lawyer Gerard Lefic, who came from Burka at the request of one of his clients to bring evidence about his case, and wrote a book about the lives of patients in Dominia, called The Refuge. Dacloud knew that good coverage of his methods and asylum would bring him future patients, and he used his gifts to manipulate Gerard Lefic's perceptions. One of his main weapons of persuasion was the doppelganger known as Mirror, a patient from Ward Zero that he used to emulate other patients when necessary. When the lawyer and writer Gerard Lefic returned to the continent with his book and fascinating stories about the healing methods of the genius Dr. Dominiani, his fame spread quickly as one of the greatest alienist experts in the lands of the mists. Sanitary agreements with the Charity Fellowship Clinic in Martyria Bay and with the Granheim Sanatorium in La Mordia ensure a constant influx of patients, and it's not uncommon for some well-to-do families to send to the clinic some of the members who are tormented or who may have become unwanted or embarrassment for treatment. One such contact and partnership in 747 was with the infamous Baron Metus, a feared vampire from the city of Martyria Bay in Darkon, which had been destroyed by Dr. Rudolf von Richten. Resurrected by supernatural forces, Metus and the Cloud formed an alliance to send patients to Dominia and to fulfill their plans for revenge. One of the first fruits of this partnership's agreement was the sending to Baron Metus of one of the island patients, the Piscione colored the Tinker. Like Kitan, he was a descendant from the Tani, the people who lived in slavery in the lands of Bootspool, now dominated by Mind Flayers. He was captured among the Vistani, and Dr. White and Dr. Dominiani performed curious experiments on the Piscionic, through which they mutilated his limbs and body to try to amplify his Piscionic gifts. This tortured individual was sent by Dominiani into the care of Baron Metus, and his gifts were used to madden and torment the target of his revenge. Baron Matthews, drove Dr. Van Richten to the brink of madness, and he was sent on the ship Mercy to the care of Dr. Damiani to be tortured and examined far from the eyes of his allies and companions. Despite these precautions, as fate would have it, a group of adventurers rescued from a shipwreck by the ship Mercy would confront the Cloud in his own sanatorium, free Dr. Van Richten, and escape from Dominia with the famous Monster Hunter. This violent event was just the beginning of Dominiani's problems. His special patients, who composed the secret Ward Zero, formed a secret alliance against his captor and began recruiting patients and allies into the secret society. The Cloud does not suspect that they are meeting in the dream world, but upon discovering that his special patients were sabotaging his plans and plotting against him, in a fit of rage, he set fire to the Ward Zero, killing almost everyone who was imprisoned there. In recent years, he has received 2 new doctors to his team, specialist in pain psychology and mental reconditioning. The Lamorgian physician Pierre Renner became Dr. Brown, and the newcomer Dr. Harold Tasker, Dr. Green, is an experienced alienist with deep knowledge of the dream world and who could be a real threat to the Ward Zero secret group. Both were converted into cerebral vampires to remain under his influence. Dr. Dominiani remains obsessed with his research into madness and the secrets of the mind, but he has plans to expand his influence. The ruthless alienist has long been gathering information about other Dark Lords and analyzing their minds and traumas, planning how he could exploit weakness and fears to his advantage. His curse and inability to understand emotions is his greatest delay, however, and prevents the advancement of his research. His insanity is always tormenting him, and he fears that he is always one step away from losing his sanity completely, like his mother. He also fears his own allies, and has become paranoid, fearing that one of his allies will one day betray and depose him, just as he did to Duke Gundar in the past. Recent rumors that his former master, Duke Gundar, has returned from his final destruction and is roaming the land of the mists in his pursuit also worry him, and seem to herald a reckoning with the sins of his past. Dr. The Cloud's gruesome revelation finally gives us a clue to the whereabouts of Dr. Rudolf Van Richten. We must now find a way to escape this cursed sanatorium. While we are pondering what to do, we see that the Cloud's ledger is starting to add new lines. He writes at this very moment, and we can see his notes in this nightmare reality. The trail of the escaped patient Dr. Rudolf Van Richten has brought new adventurers to my island seeking answers. This threat will not be tolerated, and I will not allow damage to my research and institution. I have long been seeking resilient patients who can withstand mental conditioning sessions to become my servants and emissaries in the distant alien lands of Blutspur. These candidates will be perfect instruments to send a message to the grotesque, illited god brain. We realize with horror that the Cloud has planned a terrible fate for us, and the sudden fear and despair cause us to wake up abruptly. We are not in our cells anymore, however, and we are already under Dr. Brown's care. For days, we underwent behavior conditioning through pain to become Dr. Dominiani's emissaries and send a proposal to exchange knowledge with a grotesque, illited entity. when we are finally conditioned to obey with commands firmly engraved in the depths of our minds, we are taken to cell 319 and left there by Dr. Dominiani and his team in masked robes. Shortly after, the room begins to undergo transformations. First, it gets hot, and the walls start to get wet and slimy, using strange liquids from the wallpaper and squirting acids and gases. Its modifications become increasingly surreal and disturbing, its wall becoming undulating and fluid, until the walls seem to close in on us, transporting us straight into the domains of Blutspur. Join us, subscribe to the channel, and turn on notifications. Let's explore the desolation of Blutspur together. But first, on a short break, in the next video we shall explore the domain of Haslan of the 5th edition, as presented by the Van Richten Guide to Ravenloft.